Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Good morning. Well, I am blessed to be here. Seems like I haven't been here for a while, and I miss my Louisville home. So it's really good to be here. Can everybody tell me your name so I can learn your name on the count of three? Ready? One, two, three. Yes. Some of you don't know your name. Well, that's good to be here. I want to share today about the love of God in a little different way than maybe you've ever heard before. The thing that motivates God is His love. The thing that motivates God is His love. Every command of God, everything that He asks us to do is not for your restrictions, but is motivated by your love because it's for your best. Amen? The Ten Commandments are motivated by the love of God, not by Him trying to keep you from doing stuff that you think will be cool. When God says, do not murder, why does He say that? Because if you do, you're going to have some problems. It's His love that motivates us. And so today I want to talk about the love of God. So first of all, Jeff, could you help me? I want to ask a question. When you go to a store and you check out and you're leaving this store with your bag of whatever, or your half a bag for $500. And they, what do they say to you? Have a good day. What do they mean? Somebody tell me, what do they mean? Well, we want to take you to Mike and you to tell us. Just put your mic in someone's face.
It means thank you for shopping with us. Now go away.
So that's a good day if you go shopping.
Thank you for shopping. Go away.
All right. What do they mean? Have a good day. Here's another one. Have a good one. A good one. What's one? What is the one? Okay. Someone tell me. What's a good day? Everybody hear that? A day without any problems. So if your car breaks down, is that a good day? Or if you feel sick, is that a good day? Or if your children are just driving you, is that a good day? Parents are saying no. Children are going, I did it. And I want to ask us today, is your definition of a good day and God's definition of a good day the same? What is a good day according to God for you? What are challenges? We use challenges as kind of a nice cover-up word for tough stuff. What is a good day to you? I do believe that we want it without issues, without problems, without difficulties. Everything goes smooth. Everything treats us nicely. People at the store are friendly and nice. Amen? That's a good day. And when you come home from work, your spouse will say, how was your day? And what do you talk about? What do you talk about when someone says, how was your day? The problems. Right? Unless there was something really amazing, like you won the lottery or something. Other than that, we usually talk about, oh man, you wouldn't believe what happened. You wouldn't believe what happened. I mean, this customer came in and you know what they did? Are you following me?
Yes.
Because our goal, I really believe our goal is to stay away from those things that are the opposite of a good day. And I want to ask, is that God's goal? And are you willing to have God's goal for a good day for you today and tomorrow and Tuesday and this week and next month and next year? Have a good day. So when you say amen in your prayer time, I would like you to think like you do when you go to the store and you check out and you're leaving, they say, have a good day. When you say amen in your prayer time in the morning, I want you to picture tomorrow God saying, have a good day. And what does that mean? God says he has your best in his heart. Do you believe it? I didn't hear you. Do you believe it? Does God really have his best in his heart for you? But have you noticed not every day is a good day, according to our definition? Amen? Are you with me? Maybe you live in a different world than I do. There are a lot of my days I would not define as good days. Are you with me? Like yesterday was not a good day, particularly for me. Are you following me? What does God want in a good day for you? What is God's heart? What is God's priority? What is his purpose? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, if we could. If you have your Bibles, I'd really encourage you to turn there so that you can read the scripture to yourself, because sometimes it's good to actually remind ourselves what the Bible is saying to us. What is a good day? If God is motivated by love, then love is what will follow you, as we sang today, that his presence never leaves us. Do you believe what we sang? He never leaves us. So does that mean that when you go through difficulties, God says, well, you're on your own on that one, baby. I got no part of that. How many have had a less than a good day in the last month? I wish we had time for you to tell us what ingredients included in your not so good day. Car breaking down, children having problems, problems at the school with the kids, problem at work, money problems, et cetera, et cetera. Where's God in this? Is he a part of it? Well, let me quickly say, not always. Not always. But he sure wants to use it in your life. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 7 says this: endure hardship as discipline. What's hardship? Anything that's hard to this ship. That's hardship. How many of you had hardship lately? Endure hardship as discipline. Now, I'm not saying that God brings all these things, but he wants to use it in your life to help you to grow. Amen? Yes. Endure hardship as discipline, for God is treating you as his children. See, when my kids were little, I have three kids, they're adults now. But when my kids were little, and it came time for a meal, their preference would have been ice cream and cookies every meal. That would have been their preference. How many of you think I would have been a good father if I said, sure, have all the, what flavor do you want today? How many think I'd been a good father if I would have given them ice cream and cookies at every meal? How many kids think that would have been a really cool thing? Yeah. See, what I want to challenge us is that God doesn't always give us what we want. He's give us what's for our best. Can I say that again? God doesn't always give us what we want. God gives us what is best. And sometimes that's not a good day. According to my definition, according to my understanding of what I would prefer. How many of you have had situations in your life that something that looked like it was just bad, it was going wrong, it was just the pits, and then somehow God turned it around and awesome things came out of it? How many can say, yeah, that happened to me? So why do we avoid that when good things come out of it? Because we really have some inappropriate goals. And I want to challenge us today that we stop asking for a good day according to our definition. We are willing for God's good day, which might be different than ours. Going on in Hebrews 12, it says, you're going through discipline. God disciplines for our good. Everybody goes through disciplines. Verse 10 says, your fathers disciplined us for a while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. How many are interested in being a little more holy next week than you are today? Okay, God says, here's a path to that, discipline. Ow, no thank you, I want a good day. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. We all said, amen. Right? No discipline seems pleasant at the time. I rebuke you, devil. But painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest. A what? A what? Harvest of peace and righteousness. What's a harvest? I live in Oregon, and the valley that I live in, it's 100 miles, it's a triangle, and I live at the very south point of the triangle. And this valley grows 80% of all the grass seed for the world. And last year, we harvested 750 million pounds of grass seed. Do you know how much that is? Now, a grass seed is a little tiny bitty little rascal. It takes a lot of little bitty seeds to make a pound. It's truckload after truckload after truckload after trainload after trainload after truckload after trainload. That's a harvest. 750 million pounds, that's a harvest. A harvest is not a little container. A harvest is not a little bucket. Harvest is not even a truck full. A harvest is more than you could ever possibly use. God says, I want to give you a harvest. A what? A harvest of peace and righteousness if you let me discipline you. Anybody interested in a harvest? More peace than you ever know what to do with? More righteousness than you could ever imagine? God says, yeah, I got that for you. But here's the door that you have to go through. And that is, some things might not always be the easiest for you, but I want to promise you, it will be your best. God loves you so much that he gives you what's the best, even when you complain, even when you don't like it. Anybody ever been there? And may not like some of the things that come your way? Amen, brother. Preach it. We don't always like it. How many times have you prayed something? Man, you prayed with earnest. You trusted God and you were believing. And he did not answer. And you look back on it maybe a few months or even a year or so later. And you are saying, oh, thank you, God. You did not answer my prayer. How many have ever had that? That is the love of God. But we're in the middle of our prayer. We're believing for this. We're trusting God. And he doesn't always answer because, remember, His goal is for your best, not always for what is the easiest. I just, in June, had my fourth back surgery. It's a long story, I won't bore you with it, but my surgeries have resulted from my stupidity, my incredible stupidity, overlifting, doing things that were just really stupid, and I did it. Had my first surgery 18 years ago and had consequences ever since, and a year ago in November, I did something stupid again, and I re-injured, and I've suffered every day since. Before the surgery, I was down flat on my back for 40 days. Crawled to the bathroom. I could not do anything except lay there and count the hours to the next pain pill. Anybody ever been there? And all you're doing is, oh God. Think I prayed? What was I praying for? God, take the pain away. God, heal my back. Oh, I was serious. I don't know that you could be any more serious than have pain that's so significant. If they would have said, we're going to have to cut your head off to stop the pain, I would have said, go right ahead. I don't know if anybody understands, but I'm serious about that. There is a pain level that you get to that you don't care what it's going to take, go right ahead. And I hated it. And I laid there and I was not very nice to be around. My wife would try to do everything she could to help me. And what do you want to eat? I don't want to eat. You got to eat. I don't want to eat. She's trying her best, and I was not the most enjoyable person to be around. I'm sure none of you would have been like that, but I was. Then I had the surgery, and that horrible pain stopped. But it did not correct all of it. It's been 4 months about since surgery, and I still hurt every day. I hurt right now. And so, after the surgery, I was in a worship time just like today. And I had to have a special chair because sitting is my worst enemy. And sitting with my torso right over my spine puts pressure, and that's what causes the pain. So if I can recline a little bit, that takes the pressure off. And so I brought my own chair to church, which a chair that could recline a little bit. And I was doing fairly good. And we're having this sweet worship time. And as we ask in our worship time this morning, oh, sweet presence come. Oh, sweet presence come. And it came. And I was there in his presence, and all of a sudden I felt this gentle, sweet hand begin to massage where my pain is. Just so gentle. Just so precious. It was just so like, you knew that he knew. Ever had a time you think, God, do you remember I'm hurting? God, do you remember, ow, I hurt? Well, I knew. And he was just massaging it so gently. But it still hurt, but he was massaging it. And so I said to God, well, God, while you're there, you might as well just heal it. I mean, you come so gently. You've manifested your presence in such a real way. Why don't you just take the pain? Because see, that in my mind, that was a good day. And God clearly spoke to my heart, and he says, if I healed you, you would appreciate it. You'd be so thankful for a few days, and then you'd go on with your life. But what I'm bringing you into is going to be even better. It's not what I wanted. It's not what I preferred. But I began to enter into a depth of intimacy with God I've never experienced. See, I teach on that. I've done this for the last 40 years of my life. And God took me, for me personally, into a level. It wasn't for teaching. It wasn't so I'd have more understanding of biblical expounding. It was for me and him. Just me and him. And I have this place that I go to. I can close my eyes at any moment, and I'm there just with God. I'm sitting beside him on a bench. I'm not asking you to try to replicate this, but this is just for me and God. And I'm there. And we talk, and he shows me things and comforts me. And he says, you know, you wouldn't come like this unless you had pain. And doggone it, I hate that, but it's true. Are you with me? Yeah. I don't like it. I'd rather have the pain gone. Yesterday I had 3 flights. I had 3 very different experiences. It's almost like, how can it be? The first one was just, you know, a little discomfort, but it's not all that bad. The second one, I had absolutely no pain for a whole flight. I mean, none. I felt like I was absolutely normal. And the third one was quite a bit of pain. It's like, why can't we just continue with the middle one there? That's what I'd like. But see, what takes me often to that place is when I hurt, and God says, I wish you'd come without having to have pain, but you don't. Now, maybe you're not like me, but that's me. I'm being honest with you today. See, this has been pushing me to God, and the result is better than healing. Did you hear me? The result I'm experiencing in here with me and God in my life is better than healing. It's a deeper part of the love of God that I've never experienced before. And I teach it. I don't know anybody that teaches about the love of God more often than I do. It's my passion. I will die doing it. Although I wasn't thinking that was going to be today. Don't get too hopeful. But I am willing. I am willing for God to give me a good day by his definition. Are you? Are you willing to surrender to a new level of his lordship and saying, Lord, not my will, but yours be done? That's what Jesus experienced. It's what Jesus experienced. I don't know about you, but I think when he was there suffering, it was significant. I don't know if you've ever heard teaching about the whole process of when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying and he bled drops of blood. That is an actual thing that can happen. It usually experiences when your heart explodes. You're so emotionally distraught that you have a nervous breakdown, heart exploding, heart attack, I mean, all at the same time. It is the most excruciating thing a human being can face. A medical doctor gave an understanding of what actually takes place physically to be able to have drops of blood being sweated out. Amazing. And Jesus prayed, oh, it's possible, God. Oh, if possible, God, let this cup pass from me. Well, I prayed that. Anybody with me? I prayed that. Oh, God, I want this pain to stop. Now, does God heal? I'm expecting God to heal me. I really am. The other thing it did for me is it took me deeper into my determination to follow God and not be influenced by the enemy. I told the devil, if I die of pain, which I don't know that's possible, but if you think you can do it, give it a shot, devil, but I'm going to follow God and I'm going to do what God's called me to do. Amen. I will not let my back issue prevent me from obeying and doing what God's put on my heart. See, the most common sense be would to stay home and not get on an airplane because it hurts. Sitting is what is my problem, so avoid sitting. If I were to go and lay down flat, the pain that I'm experiencing right now would leave within 10 minutes. That'd be fine. So why don't you just do that? Because that's not what God's called me to do. Are you with me? Are you following this?
Yes.
See, God's love, we talk about, and I teach it about, all the loving things he does for us, and it's so true. This is not instead of that. This is an addition to that. This is another aspect of God's love that sometimes we don't want to talk about. We avoid it because it means the difficult things we go through. That is also included in the love of God because he's used it in my life to draw me closer to him in intimacy. Now, here's a couple of keys when you have problems that just don't go away. Anybody relate to this? Problems that you pray, you buke, and you rebuke. That was funny. You can laugh anytime. And you are doing your best. You are doing spiritual warfare, you're praying, you're believing, and it just doesn't seem to improve. Anybody relate to this? What do we do it? How do we go through this? And let me give you some keys that I have found personally through these experiences of my life. First of all, let it push you to God, not away from God. Let it push you to God, not away from God. How many of you know it's possible to get angry at God when he doesn't do what you want him to do? Amen? It's very easy. But if we believe what we sang today, if we believe he'll never leave you, that means in the middle of your challenges, in the middle of those things that, God, he's there. He's there. Hasn't left you. He's not saying you're on your own with this one. No, he's there. So let it push you to God. The second thing I really want to urge you is change your goal. Change your goal from having the problem stop to what does you want to teach me, what you're wanting to do in this situation with me, God. To change your goal from, or let's use my back example. My goal was for the pain to stop. Can you relate to that? My goal was I want to stop hurting. I want to have normal life. I want to be able to stand and teach for an hour without, or whatever. But to be able to take my mind off my goal and to put it on God's goal. Are you with me? I have found when I stop thinking and praying about my back is better. Did you hear what I just said? When I stop thinking and praying about my back, I'm concentrating on whatever else life is I'm pursuing, I find that all of a sudden my back is better, but then I start thinking about my back again, it gets worse. Are you connecting? So I'm taking my mind off the problem and I'm putting it on what God's assigned me to do. You'll be amazed how that helps. Does God heal?
Yes.
I am, please do not misunderstand what I'm trying to communicate. I am not speaking or portraying God as a weakened God or a less than powerful God or less than miraculous God. I'm not. I'm talking about a depth of his love that he says, I want your best, not just what's easiest. Let me ask you a question. Was the Apostle Paul in the will of God? What do the rest of you think? Was the Apostle Paul in the will of God? Then evidently, the thorn in the flesh. And we don't know what that thorn was. We have some speculations. But we don't really know for sure. Most people think it was an eye problem. A physical disease or bad eyesight or something had to do that was less. And he said, I beg God to take it. Are you with me? He did the same thing I was doing. And God says, no, my grace is enough. And when he was being transformed from Saul to Paul, if you remember that whole process, and God was changing him, when Ananias came to pray for him, he says, I'm going to show him how much he must suffer. See, I am not portraying God as, let's see how much you can suffer this week. But I am saying that sometimes we need some discipline for us to be able to grow. My youngest daughter is technically, biologically, my niece. She was born to my sister, and my sister passed away 20 years ago. And so my sister was never married, and so we brought this girl into our home and into our hearts, and she is our daughter. We don't make any separation between the two that were actually born to us and our youngest one. She is our girl. But when she came to us at 13, her mother had severe diabetes. That's what took her life. And one of the things about a diabetic is they sleep almost like in a semi-coma, very deep, sound sleep. And so, and they need quite a bit of it. And so to her 10, 11, 12-year-old daughter, she would say, all right, make sure you do your homework and be in bed by 9:30, and then she would go to bed. How many of your 10-year-olds left on their own would do their homework and be in bed by 9:30. I don't see too many hands raised. And so she had been somewhat on her own. I mean, not completely, but had been left a lot to make her own conclusions and decisions for about 3 years of my sister's severity in her illness. And then my sister died and she came into our home. And she said to Joyce and I, she says, you know, I was pretty well in charge the last several years. I looked at her and I says, well, honey, you're not now. And love, the highest form of love, began to help her be disciplined. That's true love. We required her to clean her room. We required her to go to bed. We required her to do the things that are good for kids to do. How many of you know that was real love? Amen? That's real love. She didn't think it was. Hello? She didn't think this was a nice, good thing. hey, I like the way it was. I got to choose my own bedtime and TV watching and whatever. I want to challenge us today that we are open to receive the depths of God's love in a new way. Lord, I'll accept your love, even if it's not what I prefer. Are you with me? Even it's not what I mean, I would never be a definition of a good day for me. But I have experienced something of the Father heart of God for me, not for teaching. Because I'm experiencing something deeper that I would not have experienced, I don't know of any other way except having a pain in my back that is significant. Now, what it is now, it's tolerable. It's not going to kill me, but I would still like it to be gone. Are you willing for that? Are you willing for God's best for you, even if it's not what you prefer? There's somebody here, the Lord just said to me, that you're praying about a new job because you don't like the one you have. And God says, well, I want to teach you some things before I move you on. Are you willing for him to teach you where you are? Hello, are you willing? There's a mother here that's just begging God to change her kids or to help her kids to catch the light. And God says, I'm working on you as well as on them. Are you willing for that, Mom? Are you willing for God to work on you in your heart? There's a couple of guys here that have real trouble, especially when you get behind the wheel. Anybody relate to this? You always become a different person when you put that key in the ignition. Don't raise your hand because we know who you are. Not really. But you just have this goal is, will drivers get a clue? How many of you know that God's using that in your life? How many know that God wants to teach you and it's not going to get any better until you let God do what he wants to do in your life? Are you with me? There's a couple of students here that you're just saying, oh, if I just, this teacher would just get off my case. Does she realize I have any other classes beside hers? Have a right attitude toward that teacher and bless her and pray for her. Take her a gift. Tell her you appreciate her. Do something of a godliness for that teacher. It'll change you and change her. But see, God wants to teach you. See, we want circumstances to change. We want things to get better by our definition, and God saying, I'm going to make them better, but I'm going to do it by my definition. And sometimes that means I'm going to take you through it. And I'm asking you today, are you willing for God? Are you willing for God to give you a good day by his definition? Even if it's not what you would prefer. Would you respond to God? Would you, do you and God just take a moment? Worship team, would you come back, please? Would you respond to the Lord by declaring, I want what you want, not what I want? We have just a few minutes before our time that we normally end. And I just want to ask you that you and God would do some business in that last few minutes. That you would deepen that commitment. Lord, I, I choose what you have for me. I can tell you that it's been 11 months since I re-injured my back, and it's been a really hard 11 months. I'm honest with you. But it's been a really good 11 months. Can you hear me? How many know that hard things can be really good when we choose to respond to them in the right way? I still hurt. That hasn't changed. Oh, but I'm better. I'm better for it. And I could even just close my eyes right now, and I just picture myself going to that bench with God. And he's there so sweetly. He says, "Oh, I'm so glad you come. I'm so glad you came." And would you and God, as the worship team just sings for us, would you just, you and God, talk? And would you deepen that decision? Lord, not my will, but yours be done.